Thank you so much. It's so beautiful to hear our brother use his gift and talk about the gospel. All we have sang today are songs that come out of the heart of all the disciples who use their gifts to continue to make disciples and remind us of a better future, a better present, and that we have a God who can forgive our past. Amen. Before we go into the word today, I invite you to read with me Matthew 28, 16 and 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, thank you because your presence is here. Let us see you, hear you, and keep your command in our hearts. That the truth will set us free today is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go and make disciples. This is the last sermon on a series of sermons in encounters with Jesus. What happened after Easter? Because the story doesn't stop. With the risen of the king, he continues to do so and is still revealing in front of our eyes. That we started this series talking about the Emmaus. What? Emmaus. I can say it now. Yeah? It took me a month. Yay! Emmaus walk, right? Where the disciples, the eyes of the disciples were open to Jesus. Jesus was walking with them, and they didn't see him until he broke the bread, and they saw him with his own eyes. And then Pastor Andrew preached a powerful sermon about Jesus call me by name, the story of Mary Magdalene, when she saw him and didn't recognize him until he say her name. And when he said her name, she saw Jesus and her eyes were open. And also, last week he was teaching us about Thomas and the experience of Thomas when his eyes were finally open and he could touch the hands of the master and said, "My Lord, my God," because he's a personal God. Now we are talking about go and make disciples. We are in the moment where the disciples are about to start a journey, a new journey. A journey now practicing what Jesus has taught them for 3 years. A journey where they won't have Jesus next to them, healing lepers and making things better. Because let me remind you, many times they made mistakes, and thankfully Jesus was right there next to them, helped them along the way. But now their relationship was going to change. Now Jesus was going to be not only in them, but also God will going to use them to multiply his spirit on earth. So the relationship has to change. And in this moment, Jesus told them to encounter them in Galilee. They went and they saw him being taken up. And there's some areas in the gospel that talk about what happened. It says that there was a conversation in the book of John, interesting, where Jesus is telling Peter instructions and talking to Peter and said, "This is what I want you to do, and I want you to do this and that." And he, instead of putting attention in what Jesus is saying, he looked back and said, "Wait, what about this guy talking about John?" And Jesus said, What if I want him to stay? You know, what to you? Asking, why are you comparing yourself with other disciples? I have a plan for him. I have a plan for you. Pay attention, right? Many times, many of us are like that. Like, "Oh, Lord, but what about him? Or what about her? Why don't you get her like you get me?" Right? It's an interesting conversation. And then other gospels speak that the disciples were looking up and two angels stood next to them and say, "Why are you looking up there?" You know, the man who just saw him leave will come back again. And then he says all the things, but in other words, say, get to work, right? Get to work. And he says that the disciples left happily. But in this story that we are reading, the disciples read and heard the mission. These are very important words because it's the last words that they heard audibly. Now Jesus was going to speak in their hearts, in their minds. Now their relationship was going to change, and they needed to stay firm in their faith and in a prayerful relationship so they will have discernment as they continue to move forward in their faith. So these are very important words. But we have discovered that as the time passes, making disciples, we see it as a very hard task to do. I don't know about you, but, you know, after I preached this for the first time, one of a young person came near me and said, so how do I make disciples? And I'm like, I talked about that for half an hour, yeah, just now. But I realized that maybe I wasn't clear enough in how it happens. So I'm going to make sure that question will be answered, you know, as we live today. First, what is a disciple? I love that Charlie was sharing about what that disciple do, and he was sharing the story of all the disciples who are here and how the disciples are still among us and if we are not disciples, right? And he was talking about the definition of what is a disciple. And a disciple, according to him and the dictionary, a disciple in the ancient biblical word actively imitate both the light and the teaching of the master. It was a deliberate apprenticeship, which made the fully formed disciple of a living copy of a master. So a disciple is a living copy of Jesus. Haven't you met people who are just like Jesus? Haven't you met people that are so full of him that you can see him? I have that experience with Pastor Andrew, for example. I have never seen him have a bad day. I'm still waiting for it. I haven't seen it. Do you have bad days? Yeah, I do. But I never see him in a bad day. He's very full of God. He's so full of God that it's impossible sometimes to make him mad. Even when I see his frustration, I see the way that he willingly submits himself to the Spirit. And that example, it kind of inspires us to be more and more like Jesus. Right? A disciple is a living copy of the master. So, but what is the difference between a believer and a disciple? Because sometimes we think that a disciple is somebody who comes on Sundays. But there's a certain difference between a disciple and a believer. And let me tell you, I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I'm saying that if you are just a believer, it's going to be impossible for you to make disciples. So what is a believer? A believer is somebody, according to the definition, I think it's the next slide. We have there the definition of a believer. It's coming. Okay, that is what is a disciple. What is a believer? There it is. This is the definition, a person who believes that a specified thing is effective, proper, or desirable. In other words, simple words, a believer is somebody who can listen to a good idea and you think, well, that's a good idea, but you don't necessarily practice it. For example, eating healthy and exercising regularly, I believe that it keeps you healthy and in a good way. I believe that. Do I practice it? Not necessarily. Yeah, I believe that is true. And I believe that we can lose weight if we, you know, put our mind into it. But I don't necessarily do it, right? So that is a difference. We can believe that Jesus forgive us of our sins, and we can believe that forgiveness is a good idea. But if we don't practice it, I'm just a believer, not necessarily a disciple. So what makes the difference is the practicing of the truth. The Bible tells us, that whoever does the words that he was speaking to us will be like a man who built his life on the rock. that it doesn't matter what comes against him, he will stand. But whoever listens to these words and think they are a good idea and agree with the message, but you don't practice it, you're building a life on sand. So the wind will come, and then you see it. And I tell you, there's a lot of things that I have built on sand. There's no such thing as all my things are on the rock now, because like I said, I know a lot of truth that I don't necessarily practice it. But and we build some stuff on the rock, and sometimes we build stuff on the sand. We all do it. But what makes us disciples is that we tried again. My trust is not on my capacity and what I know what to do, but in who called me. The power doesn't reside in you or me. It's his power. So if he calls me to make disciples, that means that I have the capacity to make disciples. But many of us get intimidated by go and make disciples. And I'm sure they felt, the Bible said that they doubted. And the scripture said in Matthew 28, it says that disciples went there to the mountain and worshiped Jesus, but some doubted. I mean, Jesus died. He saw them. They saw him eat with them. They touched him. They hugged him. He appeared once and again and again. What else Jesus needed to do for them to believe him? And when we read that, we're like, wow, these men really were very hard-headed. That's why you see the 11 disciples, no woman was there, because they already knew. Right? This is true. He doesn't need to tell me the thing again. I know it. I get it. Right? But they needed to hear it again. But we can read this, judging the disciple, but in the reality, if we are honest with ourselves, we have doubted too. But the difference is that even though they doubted, they listen and he said, hey, all authority is given to me by the Father. So he was telling them, I know you doubt, but don't worry, I got you. Whatever I need to do, I will do it because I have permission. Whatever you need me to do for you, I'll do it because now the Father in the heaven backs me up. All you need to do is to be my disciple. All you need to do is to learn from me. When the Bible says, come to me, all of you who are tired and weary, I will make you rest. And you listen to that and you're like, yes, Jesus, help me rest. And then he said, but learn from me. I am humble and meek. Many times we want the rest. We want him to help us rest. But I have a hard time with the humbleness and the meekness, you know. You want to do things your way. You want things to be done now. We want people to hurry up. Why you don't get in this, right? But the rest is not in how things happen my way or if I was right or not. The rest comes in his will be done regardless. However it happened, however long it takes, I can rest in assurance that he got it. I can rest in assurance that my people will be saved by him. I can rest in assurance knowing that he will take care of my kids, me being here or not. I can rest in assurance knowing that the Lord got all my business taking care of us, taking care of it. Because you know how we know? The biggest problem I had is I couldn't spend eternity with Jesus. But then he came, died for me, and paid the price. So if he did that, why do we worry about anything else? So how go and make disciples? How do we make disciples? First, I need to know, am I a disciple? Am I a disciple? And if the answer is yes, which I know is yes for all of you, yes, so then how do I make disciples? It's very simple, being a disciple. We don't have to know how to preach necessarily. That is not your gift. You don't have to learn how to write songs if that is not your gift. You don't have to learn how to sing if that is not your gift. We think that making disciples has to do with the pulpit. Far from the truth. If you are gifted to do this, this is not hard. If you're gifted to do it. If you're gifted to sing, that is not hard for you because you are gifted. It's something, I didn't pay for that. It came with the package. And you and I have everything we need to multiply. When I hear that voice of Jesus saying to the disciples, go and make disciples, it's the same voice that we hear in Genesis, God telling to the garden and Eve and Adam, hey, multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. So that is the instruction that Jesus has given us. Go and multiply. So how, you know, it doesn't say in the Bible that Adam and Eve were like, what? What are we doing now? What? No. He was just saying, just be. Just be. When we are, we don't have to worry about being fruitful because it's coming naturally. You already have what it takes to make disciples. And it's in your DNA. We are called to multiply our environment. That is good news. So if I don't like the environment of tense, there's a lot of tension in my office, for example. There's a good news for you. You are the seed of that new environment. Change it. You can change it. You have in you the capacity of changing environments. You have the capacity of controlling your anger. You have the capacity of controlling your fear. How? Jesus lives within you. If he conquered death, he can conquer anger. If he conquered death, he can conquer fear. If he conquered death for me, he can conquer anxiety. I just have to be. You don't see an orange tree. One orange, two oranges. You don't see, the tree fruit pushing to have lemons or oranges or, I don't know, bananas. They just happen. What is the plant? What is their job? Just be. If we are a disciple, just be disciple. And in the area that God has put you, I truly tell you, there's eyes looking at you. The only thing you have to say is, I believe in God, and all eyes are on you. People are watching you, how you encounter difficulties, and how do you live your life, and how you complain and talk about things. To judge, is this a good thing or a bad thing? All you have to do is be. He already gave you a pulpit. Your office is your pulpit. Your home is your pulpit. What you do, and believe me, there's little things that you do that you think nobody's noticed them, but they are. I remember one night I was with my son, and I was really tired. I tried to pray with them every day at night, and that day I was really tired, and I just lay next to him, and he's like, Mom, we didn't pray today. And I said, okay, well, you pray. And he did the most amazing prayer. He said, Lord, we trust you, and I trust that I will not have any nightmares today. In Jesus' name, amen. For you, it may not be nothing. He didn't pray for missionaries. He didn't pray for the world. He prayed for his need. I have taught him that he can come to Jesus with every need and trust that he will listen. I just made a disciple. It's as simple as that. It's practicing what you hear him to say to you and trust that the outcome will be good and the others will follow. I cannot tell you how many examples of people around me have increased my prayer life because I have seen them go through with prayer. I have seen people go through grief. I have a dear friend who was a mentor a long time in my life, and I saw him losing his wife, and 9 months later, coming out and saying, Jesus is alive. Amen. I praise him. And when you see somebody going through that and keep praising him, we better listen. This is true. This is true. So how do we make disciples? We'll just be. And there's five examples of how being a disciple, you cannot hide it. It's like I don't know, being beautiful, you cannot hide it that long, right? Or being broke or being millionaire, you cannot hide it. And I tell you, when you are a disciple, you are the truly richest person on earth. Because money can be gone. Beauty is going to be gone. Youth is going to be gone. But his treasures in my life, nobody can take them from me. Nobody can take the faith in prayer. Nobody can take the hope that he has put in me. Nobody can take the encouragement that he gives me, because no one gave it for him but him. Nobody can take the life that he gave me, because the world didn't give it to me. He gave it to me. So when we live in that truth, there's nothing that we cannot encounter. And that's how we can freely say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face uncertainty, because you know what? He lives. So here's five examples. When we are disciples of Christ, we can leave bitterness behind. When we're disciples of Christ, we're not following, you know, he did this and he did that. I tell you, I have done that with my husband, you know, and he's going to listen to this, and I'm sure he's listening now and thinking, you said that you don't, you know, leave bitterness behind. So yes, when we are disciples, we can leave bitterness behind. We don't keep count of all the little things that people do, because guess what? You do them too. If I am honest with myself, I can be annoying too. You know, I can be not so nice so many times. So when I see it that way, it's easy for me to forgive, because I want to be forgiven as well. When we are disciples of Christ, we truly care about people around us. One of the things that I love about Jesus is when he was about to bring Lazarus from the death, he took his time and cried with Mary. She was crying and saying, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. And the Bible said that he cried. Even though he knew he was going to come back, but he took the time to feel her pain. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly how you feel. But he is with you and he cares for you, so that way I can care of others around me. That when we're disciples of Christ, we can be humble. And this is a big one. We all work on this. I mean, I tell you, this is an ongoing process in every person's life. Because it's so easy to be arrogant. It's so easy. It's in our nature. Being arrogant is in our nature. Being humble is something that we need to learn. And what it means to be humble: see the good in everyone around you. So thinking, I may not be right all the time. Or even if I am right, it's okay. They will discover it. They don't have to discover it because you say it. Let it go. Pick the most important things. How many relationships can be saved just by being humble and say, you know what? Let's do it your way. And if it doesn't work, then we try mine. That's it. Simple. But no, we're going to do it that way. If we're not doing this way, we're not going to do it. And we bring heartache to ourselves because we do not act humble. But again, we all have done it. And this is a process, a project in process. Number four, we can see the hand of God in everything around you. When you are full of Jesus, you can see how God moves around you, and you can tell others, hey, that was God in your life. I can see the hand of God in your life. And maybe that will appoint them to the truth that what happened to them wasn't a chance. It was God provision for him or her. So when we are disciples, we can see God's hand in everything. And again, when we are disciples of Christ, we live with no resentment. We do not wait for the hammer of justice to drop. We understand that our perspective is not the only one. My perspective can be limited. He is the one who knows the truth. I remember being in a church one day, and this brother and sister were so problematic and so hard to work with them. And I remember telling the pastor, like, why are you giving them chances? You know, why do you keep, you know, giving them chances? And he said, because somebody did that with me. I couldn't see his perspective because he knew things about them that I didn't know. But I guess he saw himself in them. And thanks to that, that family still, in the gospel, still walking with Jesus because somebody was patient with them. Wasn't me, but somebody was. Hopefully, you are one of the ones who are patient with others. So when we don't have resentment, when we don't have bitterness, we understand that he will pay. He will pay for everything that the man sow. My only worry is plant good seed in every situation. That's all he's asking us to do. Even if they are unrespectful, you are respectful because you're planting that respectful seed. Even if they don't forgive you, you forgive because you are planting the forgiveness seed. Even when they're not so nice, you plant the nice seed because it's about what you can do, not what others do. When we are disciples, we understand. So if we are disciples of Jesus, I'm going to leave you with this question. Can others tell? Can others see him in you? I hope that this message doesn't make you feel that, oh, I'm not a disciple. You are, I'm sure you are a disciple. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here sitting, talking, you know, listening to me going on and on. You are already a disciple. So go and be. Go and be, because your example can lead others to him. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the invitation of going deeper and deeper in you. We love that song of oceans that brings us closer and closer to you. Sometimes we go into deep waters trusting you, trusting that you will help us make it to the other side. Help us to live in peace and in faith, knowing that, as you said to the disciples, you are with us unto the end. We live trusting you. Help us to be the disciples that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.